Good evening. Just want to express how thankful I am to have the opportunity to be up here again. I really like doing this, and I feel like I always need the practice. But I also want to thank everyone who's been an encouragement to me and motivating me and giving me advice if I choose the path that I'm going down and as I've been graduating. But it was actually the event of graduation that brought me to the subject of what I want to talk about tonight. The friends I have at school and the people that I hang out with are the real smart, really ambitious type. So at graduation, looking around, I saw people that I know being valedictorians. These are the people who had weighted GPAs of 4.7, people who were graduating who aced the ACT, National Merit Scholars. I'm not going to lie, I felt pretty bad. It was humbling. I was pretty jealous. And it made me want to talk about heaven tonight. I actually thought the music selection for tonight was just on point. But it brought me to the example in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. You have Lazarus, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. You know, Lazarus is sitting at the gate, and he's not doing very well. And, you know, dogs are looking at his wounds, while the rich man is at his table eating food excessively. And when they die, you know, you have the rich man going to hell, and Lazarus is carried to heaven by angels, and he stands at the side of Abraham. And that's what I was thinking about during my graduation. I was saying, hey, these are great things that these people are doing. These are amazing achievements, but what are they doing in their spiritual life? It was an example, the story of Lazarus and the rich man, of, you know, how Jesus would classically come down and turn things on their head. You know, someone who was successful in life was unsuccessful in death, and someone who was very unsuccessful in life was successful in death. And I was wondering if that'd be the same for me. When I get to the end, or when it reaches judgment day, will people look at me and wish, hey, I wish I'd reached that achievement. Hey, I wish I had done things differently. You want to hear what you're saying? Yeah. No, but as one of the things I was wondering, if people would look at me that way, would wonder if they would want to reach the achievement I did, or see if they want to see if they did things differently. So that brought me to the first question I wanted to ask of what is heaven? Heaven is where God resides. Luke 14:2, Jesus describes his Father's house as having many rooms. And most of the descriptions that we get of heaven, or at least heaven's appearance, comes from Revelation 21, which Terry read from. It talks about heaven being so bright that it's lit just by God's glory alone. It talks about streets being made of gold so pure that it's almost like glass. And I'm like, what does that even mean? You got walls that are as radiant as jasper, and walls. It talks about having walls of every different kind of jewel. Some people will think of heaven as a family reunion. You'll get to see people from your family there. You'll get to see people who you know who have died or passed away. But even more than that, more than your family that's at home, you also get to see your spiritual family. You'll get to see your brothers and sisters. You'll get to see people who had the same goals as you or people who are like you. Back again on the subject of family on earth, you may even get to meet family who you've never met before, ancestors or people coming from before you. One of the things I believe makes heaven such a great place is the fact that it is unimaginable. It's a place that's beyond our pleasures, a place better than what we imagine paradise is like. It's a place beyond our understanding. Because God is who he is, because he's above all, there are going to be things that we don't understand, but we'll still receive, like eternity or eternal life. And I think that applies to heaven. If you're not convinced yet that heaven's such a great place, maybe the ish will convince you just the fact that we'll be with God. Like, in such close proximity, in the same way that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, where they're able to just walk and talk with them. You know, when we're literally next to Jesus, when we're literally next to our God, it's amazing because everything is under his feet. You know, he's the conqueror of death, sickness, you know, all kinds of tribulation. And we see that as, you know, we see him express that when Jesus is going throughout his ministry, when he's bringing people back from the dead, when he's healing sickness. Heaven is a place of renewal. It's where, you know, we'll get a new start. We'll get a new life, a new lifestyle, a new body. And I think a lot of the amazement that we can get from heaven is just from the questions that we can ask about it alone. For instance, when we get there, what will we eat?
the new body or the new state that we'll be in, will we even need to eat? And that kind of brings up the idea that some of the things that we'll enjoy there may be different from the things that we'll enjoy here. You can also ask the question of how we recognize each other. Matthew 17 talks about the transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus and some of the other disciples, and you can think about how did they know who they were? You know, we probably assume that they had never seen them before, and the scripture doesn't say they were resurrected, you know, so how did they recognize who they were? Somehow they did, and the same thing happens in the story of the rich man, which I brought up earlier. He looks up from heaven, or from, he looks up from hell, and sees Lazarus at the side of Abraham, and somehow able to recognize who Abraham is. It's just an example. It's also an example of us just seeing people experiencing things that we can't understand, or things that are beyond our understanding, amazing things. Another question we can ask ourselves is, how old will we be when we get to heaven? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." When we're with God, will time flow differently? You can also ask the question of, does that even matter in eternity? But in heaven, we'll be free from the flow of time. You don't have to worry about deadlines anymore or about aging. But with all these amazing things that we've learned, or these amazing things that we know about heaven, I was asking myself why we're not always talking about it. It's been a while since anyone has talked to me, generally sat down and had a conversation with me about heaven. And I was wondering why. If it's so great, why are we not talking about this every day? Why are we not freaking out every morning that we wake up? And I think that's because we've become fine with Earth. We've become too comfortable with the state of things. For example, we've gotten so comfortable, we've reached a point where we don't fear death, in the sense that we wake up each morning expecting a tomorrow as opposed to hoping for one. We've gotten so comfortable because a lot of us in here are in the upper or middle class. We're starting to become like the rich man. It explains why it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into heaven, or why Jesus, when he came down, came to speak to the marginalized as opposed to people who were like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When you're suffering, you're not attached to this world. When you're in need, when you have a need, you're more open to a solution. When you're focused, there's not an after when you're too focused on the here and now. We're focusing on the wrong thing. We need to make heaven our goal as opposed to success or retirement. I know Daniel Fox said in one of his past sermons that Christians shine their brightest, or they do their best in times of trouble, in times of tribulation and suffering. And I'm tired of working, I'm tired of pain, I'm tired of turning on the news and seeing a bunch of tragedy. I know growing up, when my mom got really mad at my sister, she'd always say, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired." You know, what is heaven? Heaven is hope. So what does that mean when we're focusing on other things as opposed to heaven? Or focusing too much on other things than heaven? If there's no suffering, there's no need for hope. If there's no need for hope, there's no need for salvation. If there's no need for salvation, there's no need for Jesus. And that's just ridiculous. So if you'd like to become a Christian tonight and follow that path of going to heaven and trying to be with God and just focusing more on our spiritual lives and what's more important than the physical world, or if you're in need of prayer tonight, we ask that you come to the front as we together stand and sing.